Call it privatizing, call it restructuring, call it anything, but separating the nation's air traffic control program to a new and differently funded entity would be neither simple nor risk-free. For details on the latest study of this issue, we turn to Gerald Dillingham, Director of Civil Aviation Issues at the Government Accountability Office. And this has been studied for a long time, but it seems like the drumbeats in Congress to consider this are really starting to be louder.
Yes, Tom, you're right. About every 10 years or so, this issue comes up. It hasn't been resolved to date, but there is, as you say, the drumbeat is definitely picking up this time around.
And is it safe to say that there is some support, at least, for this on both Republican and Democratic sides?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. I mean, they may not agree on all of the particular components of a plan to restructure FAA, but there is agreement and, of course, some disagreement on both sides of the aisle.
And as I recall, I spoke with the head of NACTA, the Air Traffic Controllers group, some months ago. And they were not dead set against it if things could be set up in a way that they thought would be useful to them, but they didn't rule out the idea altogether. So I guess, is it fair to say that there is at least some support from all sides, possibly?
Yes, Tom, I think that's a good characterization of it. As far as the air traffic controllers are concerned, all that we've heard from them with regard to their position is that they are in favor of a change of structure. Their concern is that it not be a for-profit structure and that some of the challenges that have been pointed out should be addressed prior to making that final move.
The latest study you did for the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, what specific setup did you look at to report back to them on?
Well, Tom, we were asked by House T&I to take a look at what might be the challenges for any kind of change of structure or governance for FAA. We were not given a model to look at to make comparisons against, but just if any kind of change were made that would separate the two parts of FAA, what would be the challenges that would need to be addressed going forward? And that was the basis of our study.
And what, I guess, let's back up for a moment. What would be served by doing this in the first place?
Well, that's part of the issue. One of the issues that we raised is, first, you need to determine what is the nature and scope of the problem that is trying to be addressed with this change. And if you know the nature and scope of the problem, then you're better able to focus your resources and your time towards addressing those particular problems rather than a sort of a blanket effect.
And so what are the big problems that need to be addressed?
Well, It's the kind of situation that it probably has occurred with many other agencies that are involved in large, complicated, technologically sophisticated developments. And that is, there's been some delays in schedule. There's been some over budget kinds of expenditures for some of the big programs for FAA. And I think the major issue is the funding for FAA. That is, being able to count on a steady, reliable funding source so that they could, in fact, go forward with the major air traffic control modernization issues.
So it sounds like the basic idea here, then, is that the funding would be replaced, that is, funding from Congress, appropriations would be replaced by, I am presuming, user fees from the airline and airplane operator industries that would pay the FAA to land safely.
Yes, that is the proposal that's been offered by Chairman Schuster, which would involve user fees. Of course, we still have to have a proposal from the Senate, and they will have to come together before we actually have a bill that will go forward to the president after committee deliberations.
We're speaking with Gerald Dillingham, Director of Civil Aviation Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Looking at dividing the FAA, it's almost like separating conjoined twins that have a common brain. What are some of the challenges that you have identified with doing this?
Well, you picked up the very first one. Part of it is that FAA works together with the Air Traffic Organization and the Safety Organization in operating and maintaining the safety of the national airspace system. So that relationship, that collaboration, cooperation would definitely have to be attended to ensure that the system as designed would work. similarly, there are issues about funding. How is this going to be paid for? What about the 50-plus billions of dollars that the federal government has put into the air traffic control system? How will that be recovered? Issues such as this will take a certain amount of time to do. And when they did it in Canada, it was 2 years to get the legal situation in place and another 2 years to make it operational. The U.S. is many times larger than Canada, so we would expect that this would take anywhere from 2 to 5 years to be put in place. Additionally, part of the separation would involve making sure that the major initiatives that FAA has underway, including integration of unmanned aerial systems into the NAS, as well as the NextGen program, continues and does not, in fact, suffer more delays or more budget overruns.
So the question comes then, if they are slow in rolling out the NextGen, which is, as you say, the spark to this whole discussion, at least in this current round, how would a 2 to 5 year effort to effect the separation and then having a separate entity for rolling out NextGen, how would that speed things up?
Well, that will not necessarily speed things up. Some proponents say that it will speed things up because it would give the air traffic control operator more flexibility to acquire systems and to put them in place. On the other side of the coin, of course, is that all of the changes and movements would, of course, impact on the timing. And so on that side of the coin, people are saying that we're just starting to move with NextGen, and this will certainly have an effect on delaying it, similarly with the integration of UAS into the system.
Some people say it could speed things up. Some people say it would hopelessly slow them down, in other words.
Exactly.
And the other issue is, of course, if you talk about regulation, that is clearly an inherently government function. But in between the air traffic control and the regulation function, there's research, development, and training, because it never stops in aviation. And where would that function lie in a separated type of system?
Well, as far as it's been articulated to date, all of the air traffic control training and personnel and even some administrative people would go to the new air traffic organization, and FAA would maintain its safety oversight. And I believe that FAA safety oversight would mean that it would have a say-so in the nature and scope of training for air traffic controllers as well. It is a related safety function.
Because they do have a lot of say over training and safety now of those people as they do over airline employees.
Absolutely.
And looking at the experience in Canada and Great Britain over a longer term, what has been the long-term experience, and has it worked out in those places?
Well, for the most part, it seems to have worked out. When you use measures like safety, the safety has either remained the same or gotten better. When you use the metric of installation of equipment, that too has gone a little different, some say better. But of course you have to keep in mind that the Canadian system is much, much smaller. The airspace is much less complex and with different actors in it. So it's hard to make a one-to-one comparison, but the fundamentals seem to be pretty steady at NAV Canada.
And what about some of the growing regions like Southeast Asia and different Asian regions that are growing exponentially in terms of air traffic because of their economies growing? What's their experience there? Do we know?
Yeah, Tom, we do know in that, of course, there are about, I think, maybe 50 countries now that have some form of separated air traffic control versus safety. Some are government corporations. Some are private sector, and some are like Canada, which are a non-profit, non-share corporation. So the rest of the world is also modernizing. They're modernizing using the ICAO directions, the International Air Traffic Organization, and they are in fact upgrading their systems as well. So this is something that's going on around the world.
And so if we don't upgrade to keep up, we'll be the one that's behind everybody.
Well, starting from the point that we are still the gold standard in the world for air traffic control. We still have one of the safest systems in the world. I don't think we're going to fall behind because most of those countries that are in fact modernizing are trying to catch up with the United States. But if we don't proceed with some speed, it will affect our system in terms of its efficiency of operation.
Gerald Dillingham is Director of Civil Aviation Issues at the Government Accountability Office. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
And for a link to the report and to share this interview with colleagues, go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.